Welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.
Thanks for joining us today on the Center of Everywhere podcast. I'm Marnie Werner, and I'm the Vice President of Research at the Center for Rural Policy and Development in Mankato, Minnesota. When we started this podcast 8 months ago, one of our first guests was Sue Grafstrom. She is a Center for Rural Policy board member, but for her day job, she has a couple of positions. She is the Homeland Security Emergency Management Director for Roseau County up in northwest Minnesota. And she is also the Public Health Preparedness Consultant for the state for the region of northwest Minnesota. Back when we had Sue on in episode 2 in April, we talked about the pandemic. It was still a very new issue at the time, and no one was really sure how things were going to play out. And Sue and I talked about how things may go, how things may change, what the response could be to COVID-19. And for episode 17 now, we're going to circle back around and have Sue on again. She's been part of the vaccine response to COVID-19, part of that public health initiative to get people vaccinated, particularly in rural Minnesota. And so Sue is going to join us today, and we're going to talk about how things are going with vaccination and how things may go for the future. So thanks for joining us, Sue. And to start out with, why don't you tell us more about the many roles that you play with public health and emergency management in northwestern Minnesota?
So I have dual roles in Roseau and in the northwest Minnesota, actually. So my public health side of things is the regional slant. And so I am the public health preparedness consultant for all public health directors and emergency preparedness staff throughout the 12 northwestern counties and 3 tribes. So I consult with them up until the pandemic on their emergency preparedness plans and all things that had to do with what goes into those plans. Then, of course, once the pandemic hit, I am now kind of that go-between between the Minnesota Department of Health and the public health preparedness folks that are working on the pandemic. So a lot of times it's information sharing, it's clarifying, it's trying to relay information back to the Minnesota Department of Health to let them know what's going on in the region. The other role that I also have is specific to Roseau County, and that is the Homeland Security Emergency Management Director. And in that role, I have the jurisdiction to responding to all things that are disaster related. So, of course, pandemic would fall within that. So currently, the local public health director, Julie Pollan, and myself are co-managing the pandemic for Roseau County. So that in a long explanation for your question, am I involved in local public health? And so that's the two different fronts that I am involved in this particular disaster response.
So you are a very busy person.
I am. Yep. I'm juggling a lot of emails and calls and things like that, but it's been very helpful to have both a local and a regional perspective for it really benefits Roseau County, but also it benefits the state of Minnesota, MDH, to kind of hear from both the emergency management side and then also public health side.
Right. So we had you back on. We had you on back in March. I think you were one of our first podcast guests, right when the pandemic started, and we talked about the role of public health in this kind of, you know, emergency situation. And so we've been seeing this all unfold over the past 10 months, and now we are finally to the point where we have vaccines. And so I guess we may as well just, you know, jump right in. What is the plan and how is rural Minnesota factored into that plan?
So yes, we have vaccine. It has been, like I tell everybody that I work with, this is the first proactive thing we can do in a pandemic. We have been reactive in terms of, looking at our case counts, doing case investigations, trying to protect people with, messaging, that sort of thing. So the vaccine rollout has been at what we expected. I don't think anybody expected it was going to go smoothly. We knew that there were going to be limited supplies of vaccine. We heard that across the country. So initially, there was kind of a two-pronged plan for the state of Minnesota to get the vaccine out into each of the counties or in each of the areas of Minnesota. That initially worked with something called the Healthcare Coalition. And a Healthcare Coalition does emergency preparedness planning with healthcare entities, your hospitals, your clinics, your long-term care, your assisted livings, everything that's not public health. And so the Healthcare Coalitions, there's 8 of them across the state. They were given the Pfizer vaccine that was available first, that had very specific cold temperature management that had to be adhered to. And so there were only certain facilities in our area, Northwestern Minnesota, and in other rural areas that had the ability to store that at the minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit that it needed to be stored at. So that was the first vaccine that started coming into the areas. And as everyone knows, healthcare workers were targeted as that first line of defense. We need to get them vaccinated so that we have people to work in the hospitals when these surges come and we can, protect health and safety from that standpoint. So the Healthcare Coalition got it into what they called the hub. And then the hub distributed out to the local entities like the hospitals. Mostly the hospitals had jurisdiction in every region then to vaccinate their population. And then it rolled out from their clinics, that sort of thing. When Moderna was then authorized a couple weeks after that, that did not have the same cold storage requirement. So now that was targeted towards public health departments. So then public health departments were responsible for that 1A population that did not include healthcare facilities. So this is where your long-term care residents, your long-term care staff, your assisted living, first responders, EMS, then we get into the lower priority populations, like we'll say the dentists, the doctors at our clinics that are not affiliated with hospitals, that sort of thing. So that's where public health filled in that particular gap. So initially we were seeing those weekly roll into counties. Maybe public health would get some one week and not another. Maybe they would share with a neighboring county because there were limits as to how much they could reduce the quantity. So it was a really good system that was going rolling forward. And then we hit the last couple of weeks. So since then, it's been a little bit muddier, but we're trying to get on the right track as a state to determine how best and how efficiently to get these vaccines into people's arms.
Public health's role, is that separate from the healthcare providers, or is public health the entity that distributes or monitors the distribution to healthcare entities?
So traditionally, public health has the responsibility for doing the mass vaccination in a pandemic. So that is one of the primary roles of the public health system. That's the way it was designed, and that is what they have been planning for the last 20 some years. So when you say, do they have responsibility for? Yes, that is one of their roles. However, this pandemic has changed things quite a bit. And so recognizing that public health systems across the state and across the country, quite honestly, have been underfunded and therefore understaffed to the extent that we would need for a full-on pandemic response. There has been some recognition at the state level that we need to enable this to work quickly and efficiently. Of course, when the population, or when the 1A priority population became healthcare workers, it was only natural to get it to health systems and hospitals to do their own vaccination of that population. But then really the intent is that public health takes over after that, because they've been doing this type of work already. And through the years, they've established relationships with local entities, your schools, your manufacturers, your business people, your social service agencies, those sorts of things, because they've worked with them on other issues. Maybe it's a seasonal flu vaccine. Maybe it's getting some services out to them. So this is really public health's wheelhouse, so to speak. But like I said, there was a recognition federally and statewide that maybe we didn't have the infrastructure that would be able to do the full-scale response like we're needing.
Yeah, I think there's probably not a good understanding of what public health does. I know I heard of it, of course, and knew it existed, you know, as, quote, public health, you know, within, say, county governments. But I didn't have a really good, you know, understanding of what public health did and what its role was within, you know, the greater government, you know, in public service. Until this all started, and you had explained it to us, you know, months ago. So why don't you just go over again? I mean, you talked a little bit about what public health's role is in this case, but overall, what is public health responsible for?
So if you can think of it in terms of your own personal health. So when you get sick, you will go to the doctor and then potentially need to have tests run, go to the clinic. So that's individualized. You're reacting based on your personal health. Public health's role really is to ensure the health of the general population. So they will work in areas like messaging, like, you know, the don't drink, don't smoke, that sort of thing. They'll work on the policies to keep the general population safe and to make sure that they have the best health possible. So they're working on a much different realm than just individualized medicine. So that's why the pandemic, you know, it's population-based response, and public health is a population-based healthcare entity, if you want to think of it like that. So you're right, there is a lot of misconception, and a lot of what, like, now you hear in the healthcare, larger healthcare people, like, I'll say the insurers and the hospitals and things, you know, they're looking at, like, now what public health has been doing for years. What can we do to keep the population healthier so they don't need to access individualized medicine? So yes, I mean, it's getting into a much bigger philosophical question, but yes, so public health emergency preparedness was just this tiny little microcosm kind of what they did, but really for this type of response.
Okay. Yeah. Cause, you know, this is a huge mass vaccination process that you're trying to carry out now. I mean, we have 5.5 million people in Minnesota and 330 million people in the country all trying to get vaccine, and, you know, 7.5 billion people around the world all trying to get these vaccines. So just in, you know, just in Minnesota, we haven't seen a mass vaccination like this since, you know, like the days of polio, except back, I think about 20 years ago, there was a meningitis outbreak here in Mankato, and they did a mass vaccination of about 30, 32,000 people within a matter of a couple weeks or so. But something of that size is really pretty rare these days. So how do you go about doing that? And what are the difficulties you're running into to, you know, getting people vaccinated?
How do you go about doing that? And that has been probably the biggest source of discussion. You know, fortunately, like I assured our public health directors and staff, we're not going to get all the vaccine we need all at once. And so that will be helpful in that we can start to do it strategically with the most vulnerable first. And we were directed both by national and state government as far as who that should be. And so we weren't working, at least on, in the rural areas, we weren't working with large amounts of vaccine initially. Now, that being said, we have been planning for this. We have, by we, I mean local public health departments, as part of their funding from the CDC for emergency preparedness, has been writing mass vaccination plans. How would we go about doing that? How do we get, vaccine into arms as quickly as possible? What is the notification system? Recognizing that everybody is going to have their own way of being able to deliver that quickly and easily within their own county. They have individualized plans, but there are some elements that, you know, are required. So this isn't like we have to reinvent the wheel. We have that plan. Fortunately, also, we knew the vaccine was coming. And so a lot of public health departments are still involved in the yearly process of immunizing for flu. And so they run smaller little flu vaccine clinics. So a lot of the elements of what they would do for that are the same elements of what they need for this COVID vaccine. And so they actually did run their flu vaccine clinics last fall, exercising the elements they knew would be a little bit different for COVID. So when I say public health is, this is their wheelhouse, this is their wheelhouse. They have been planning for this. You referenced the meningitis outbreak. That is one, you know, specific regional response, but it hasn't been that long ago that the state responded to the H1N1. And while not on the same scale as the COVID, it was enough of a response so that they're taking lessons learned. Those that have been around long enough are taking lessons learned from that and applying it to how they're going to do mass vaccines for their populations.
Yeah, I forgot about the H1N1. Were we vaccinating people for that too?
Yes, we were. There was limited doses of vaccine for that. That was a different type of a virus in that one seemed to target and spread more easily amongst students and children. And so they were a primary focus of our population of focus.
That's right. There's always going to be difficulties with trying to launch and manage anything of this size. What are some of the difficulties you're running into, and what makes trying to carry something like this out in a rural area different from, say, in a suburban or urban area?
So, well, what I will say about the rural areas, and I've seen this across the state, is that really smaller counties were given two variables that helped them immensely get their population vaccinated, their 1A population first, second, and third priorities done quicker than larger counties, in that, first of all, with the Moderna, it has to be shipped in 100 case packs. So you have to get 100 doses. So that was, I believe, 10 vials that had 10 doses in it. And so they couldn't break it down further than that. So if I look at a county like, I'll say Roseau County, where I live, there's 15,000 people. And so we're not looking at large numbers of ambulance people that need to be vaccinated. We're not looking at large numbers of assisted living facilities. And so getting 100 doses in even once every 2 or 3 weeks into public health really gave them the flexibility to go through the priority population they were directed to do with those doses, but then also start moving into the next priority population. So I look at rural and that Moderna as kind of the great equalizer, in that for the first time, that benefited us to be very, very small, because they couldn't really break that quantity down any further than 100 doses. So a lot of our communities, that real small county rural areas, have been finished up with that 1A population and are just now like ready to go, trying to get into that next population of the 65 plus. The counties that are having a much more difficult time are the ones that have large population centers, where Duluth and St. Louis County, the metro area, Rochester, which is in Olmsted County, you know, there just isn't enough vaccine coming into the state to give them. I mean, they would need all of the vaccine to get into the state for 1 week to do everybody that they needed to do. And so equitably, I'm thankful that the state of Minnesota, Minnesota Department of Health, was very, very strategic in getting it out to every region and being very fair about who gets the allocations this week, who needs it the most, which priority populations you're in, and you know, trying to get cleaned up with the past priority populations, but still recognizing, you know, that there needs to be some movement then going forward. So it's been a very good, it's been favorable to work in this vaccination planning so far for the rural areas.
So what can people do to help? I mean, everybody's like, they want to get their vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, we in public health, like I said, our public health agencies, like, just give me the vaccine. We want to do this. And they're ready to go and they have good plans for it. Patients, you know, it's that patient piece of it. Everybody wants to be vaccinated so that you don't have that fear. And so really for the general public, you know, every call that you make to your public health agency asking where you are on the priority list is time that takes them away from being able to get the vaccine out that they currently have. So if you can just, the general public can stay tuned to their local source of information for COVID vaccines, whether that's going to be on the website, whether that's going to be announced on the radio, whether it's going to be sent out from a different entity, watch those. Public health will communicate through those and let you know where they are, what vaccines they hopefully will be able to give out in the upcoming weeks. But right now, there's a big push across the state to get done with that 1A population. We're not done with it yet. And then the 65 plus, and then of course the E12. So a lot of public health agencies for that 65 plus, they're going into the more vulnerable 85-year-olds and up, 75-year-olds and up. And so the 65 to 75, please be patient. It might take some time for us to get to you, but there was some good news this week in that the Biden administration was allocating just a little bit more vaccine to the state of Minnesota. So we had just a tiny bit more that was flowing into the state, but until that doubles or triples, we're just really going to have a hard time getting through that 65 plus population as quickly as people will want.
I feel like there's another question out there. Is there anything else?
Not really. I mean, you know, the vaccine rollout has been bumpy and it's going to continue to be bumpy. You know, working from the MDH standpoint, they're under a tremendous amount of strain due to public opinion and what the public expects. And so what I have seen in the recent weeks is that we're tending to go away a little bit from our public health systems and getting more help from a legislative standpoint. And so that has been difficult for local public health because they really feel like, just, you know, get it to us. These regional sites that they popped up all over the state, yeah, they work good, but honestly, in rural areas, it's just not feasible. It's not feasible that, like, our people in Roseau County have to drive 75 miles one way to get to a vaccine, you know, and our public health said, just, you know, don't take that vaccine into a regional site, just give it to us. Even if it's 100 doses a week, we will get it to your most vulnerable people. So there's some frustrations as far as the decision-making process going forward. And, you know, that's to be expected. This is a highly politicized pandemic. And so the response has been highly politicized as well. And that's been very frustrating on a public health level. It also has been frustrating on emergency management level. And so, it'll be fine once everybody's got more vaccine than they need. But right now, that is probably, we just feel like to some extent we're between a rock and a hard place. And everybody in the country is feeling like this. I know that every level that's trying to respond to this pandemic wishes that things were different. And so, you know, we'll learn from this and we'll move on. And hopefully we'll never have to apply lessons learned to this pandemic in our lifetimes. So
So, you were talking about people keeping an eye on the news and public service announcements and whatnot. Should they be watching for getting their vaccine through public health, or is there like their healthcare provider, their local healthcare provider, going to notify them?
That is a great question. And at right now, that's something that we don't know the answer to. And I think that it is a three-pronged approach, and it was meant to be a three-pronged approach in the state of Minnesota and nationally. There just hasn't been enough vaccine to do that. So yes, and yes, they should be probably looking at public health because public health may get vaccine to do a mass vaccination clinic for 65 and older. They should be watching their healthcare providers because healthcare providers have been given vaccine as well. There is a large system. I think there's nine large hospitals that are getting a fair amount of vaccine each week to give to their patients. There's also independent hospitals that are not part of that system that are getting on a lottery basis some vaccine in each of the areas. And so there may be some opportunities through them. And then eventually we look at the pharmacies, and they got involved with long-term care and assisted living through the pharmacy partnership program. And I expect to see that get to be a part of that distribution when there's enough vaccine to go around to all three entities: public health, the healthcare systems, and then eventually to the pharmacy.
Okay. So circling back around to those eight pilot sites that have been set up around the state, is the expectation that people would go to those sites to get shots, or are those more like a dispersal site to the individual counties?
Nope. Those are for the general public to have the opportunity to get a vaccine. So
Okay.
in our region, it was in Thief River Falls. I think the Metro actually had two sites, but they're at different sites in rural Minnesota based on the region. And so no, that is to draw people 65 and older from the region into that site twice a week to to have the opportunity to get vaccinated. They're set up as pilot sites, recognizing that when enough vaccine becomes available, that there will be more of these throughout the region, and that's the intention that will help to alleviate the strain on public health, so that the state would, much like they did for testing, run ongoing testing sites, and they're still doing that for COVID, that they would set up these max vaccination sites, and that would be an ongoing response every week for people to be able to come in and get vaccinated.
Okay, so eventually there will be more sites.
Yes, when the
Okay.
vaccine, that's what I understand. When the vaccine is available, because right now they're really not getting that much. I think each site gets 1,000 doses, and this is the last week of the pilot. And so then that was only 9,000 doses across the state of Minnesota. So it's
Oh,
really
okay.
not that much vaccine that's being distributed through those pilot sites.
So this sounds like a little bit of a loaded question, but is that then diverting doses away from local public health efforts?
No, I can
Okay.
confidently say that. Local public health has been getting the same allotment since the beginning of the Moderna being available. And actually, I think we got maybe a little bit of a bump this year, this week. So it really was that hub and spoke model I talked about with the healthcare coalitions. It had to do, I believe, with those allocations. I don't have exact numbers, but that's my understanding. And so there's a little bit more vaccine. I think we got a 13% bump in the state of Minnesota this week. And so, yeah, so they're starting to spread it out now between more partners statewide than just public health and healthcare entities. And so it's not diverting it from public health. They're still getting it, but because most of the state's healthcare workforce is vaccinated, that frees up quite a few doses every week.
Right. Okay. Anything else you can think of?
No, that's about it. I will say, on a positive note, there is good news on the horizon. Of course, we know the Biden administration has pledged to, they've already put in orders for more for both Moderna and Pfizer. They're pushing those companies as hard as they can to get more doses out to the state. And like I said, they had pledged a 13% increase to Minnesota. I also have been notified, I'm sure everyone else has heard the news, that Johnson & Johnson is getting ready to submit their paperwork to the FDA for an emergency use authorization. And so I saw something that said mid-February, they're hoping that that will be ready to go under an emergency use. And that is a one dose. Right now, one of the biggest problems with this vaccine is the two dose. So public health and healthcare entities, anybody who's vaccinating really has to do double the work to vaccinate somebody against COVID, because you've got to have one dose and then bring them in three to four weeks later, depending on the brand, for that second dose. So that's the first time that we've actually had to do something along those lines. So a Johnson & Johnson one dose is a welcome bit of news.
That should be a game changer.
Yes. So hope is on the horizon. Reminding everybody that public health practices are still at play here. You have to wear masks. You have to keep that 6 feet social distance. That is not going to go away anytime soon. And so even if you get vaccinated, you do not have a free pass. But just a good reminder for the rest of us, we are in a nice spot across Minnesota right now with case counts falling. And so this is not the time to relax and let go of some of those things that have been protecting us and the vulnerable and elderly in our county so far. So just to add that little plug.
Yep. Yes. Stay vigilant. So where should people look if they want, you know, more information on vaccinations? You're talking about announcements and things like that.
Yeah. So if you're looking for the information, like when can I get vaccinated? Where do I go to get vaccinated? The local information is the best. You know, stay in touch with your public health agency through, like I said, those different types of traditional or social media. And every agency is doing it just a little bit different. And so you kind of need to know what yours is doing. Overall, Minnesota Department of Health has an excellent website set up for vaccines. And then there also is a vaccination dashboard. So you can go on and see what county has vaccinated first time doses and full vaccinations. That is almost up to the minute. Like every night that information is refreshed through what the county has said that they have put into arms. And so it's a really good snapshot in terms of how efficient our state is working at getting those vaccines into people and getting the public vaccinated. But also then there's just a lot of great information about vaccines in general. So I would refer people back to that.
And maybe check out your county's website under the public health tab.
Correct. Yeah. That would be the first place to go.
Okay, good. Well, thanks so much for being on with us today.
Yes, well, thanks for the opportunity. I know that everybody is very anxious about that. But as I said, you know, the best thing you can do is be patient and watch your local county's public health website or MDH's website.
And that's it for episode 17 of the Center of Everywhere podcast. Please join us again next week.
You've been listening to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.